Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 30. In verse 19, Moses says to Israel, and this is really God speaking to them, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed, that is to say, your descendants, may live. The pastor does that. The pastor puts life and death before you. The word of God that he preaches is what is putting it before you. And then you have to have a choice. For example, you hear the message and it addresses some part of your life. Maybe addresses some question, maybe addresses an issue where you're not right, maybe addresses something where you have to make a choice, decision, whatever. It addresses some part of your life. Now you recognize that it's addressing that part of your life. Or maybe it applies to your life, doesn't necessarily address anything specific going on, but it applies. And you have to make a decision. Your life is about decisions. The volition, the ability to decide, is a part of your soul. Satan had a volition. Satan decided very poorly. He was a glorious angel, a covering cherub in Ezekiel 28. And then he chose very poorly on the basis of the fact that he got puffed up because he was beautiful. He chose poorly. He chose death. Now we have to make choices all the time in the same manner. And God says to us, I set before you life and death. That is to say, I give you a volition. I give you a choice. You can choose what you do and I will allow you to do it. Remember something. Now never forget this. It's very important. Your decisions belong to you and no one else. You are the master of your volition. But your consequences do not belong to you at all. Your consequences belong exclusively to God. So when you make a decision before God, He will allow you to decide what you will. But He will determine the consequence. You have no bearing on the consequences. You only have a volition. You do not own the consequence. So use your volition well. And He says to you, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. This is like spirituality for dummies. Therefore, choose life, in case you couldn't figure it out. And the amazing thing is that a lot of people can't figure it out. People who should be able to figure it out still don't figure it out. I've known pastors who couldn't figure this out. Choose life. Choose life. What does it mean to choose life? Choose the way of God. Choose the love of God. Choose the word of God. Respond and apply it in faith. The word of God says something. I don't take it as a law. If I violate it, I don't get condemned. But I trust it. And because I trust it, I apply it. And the reason why I trust it is faith. I know it's the word of God. I have no question in my mind that it's the word of God. And because it's the Word of God, it's trustworthy and it's reliable. Likewise, the character of God. You can trust the character of God because it's God's character. It's not the character of some person. People change. God never changes. People are fickle. God is not fickle. People are unpredictable. God is, in some ways, in His consistency, very predictable. Now, in the application of His plan in your life, That's unpredictable. In his character, he's very predictable. The fact that God will love you, the fact that God will be kind to you, that's very predictable. The fact that God will take care of you, that he'll come through for you, that he'll fight your battles, that he'll meet your needs, he'll provide for you whatever it is that you require, that is predictable. How he's going to do it, that's not predictable. But he is predictable in his character because he tells us exactly what his character is. He can't change it. He established it. He is God. Once he's established something, it's unchangeable. God never changes. He's predictable. Now, you choose according to that which is reliable. You do not choose according to that which is not reliable. The Word of God is reliable. Temptation is not reliable. Doctrine is reliable. The ways of the world are not reliable. When people choose, they always choose what they think they'll get some benefit from. Now, sometimes it's a stupid choice. For example, people who get into drugs, that's a stupid choice. What about poisoning your body, destroying your brain, destroying your health, destroying your ability to think, do you think is a good idea? But they do it anyway. Why? Because somehow they think in that they'll have a good time. Well, look at those people in San Francisco, for example, and many other places. There's thousands of them living on the streets, strung out. They can't put two thoughts together. Their intelligence is completely shattered because of the destruction of their brain from what they thought would give them a good time. And the amazing thing is they knew it ahead of time, many of them. You ask any junkie, are drugs a good idea? And the junkie will say no, and they'll do it anyway. Why? Because there's something in there that they think they'll get a benefit from, a feeling maybe. It makes them feel good. I don't even see how, but that's something for them. Okay, the choice was there. The consequences were God. They chose, God brought the consequence. They chose alcohol, for example, and God said, okay, fine, you can destroy your brain cells and eventually you will be a vegetable. Because once your brain cells, you use up enough of them, they don't regenerate. You can't make new ones. Once you destroy enough of them, you're going to be a vegetable. I've seen that when I worked in the hospital. Okay, fine. You thought that was a good choice. You thought you'd have a good time by being drunk. The hangover in the morning should have given you some idea that that wasn't a good choice, but apparently you couldn't figure it out. So God brought the consequence. The consequence belongs to God. The wages of sin is always death. It doesn't mean it's instant death. But the wages of sin is always death. Really simple, obvious things. I remember not that long ago, but a few years now, there was a famous nationwide news anchor who, when he was younger, had a smoking thing, quit smoking. Then, when 9/11 happened, he picked up smoking again, I guess the stress of it, and he died of lung cancer shortly thereafter. What did he get? He thought maybe he'd get some relaxation. But the wages of sin is death. Anything that'll destroy your body, that'll harm your body, is sin. Make no mistake about it. Anything that'll harm your body is sin. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't mess with God's temple. It's sin. He made a choice. God brought the consequence. Now, it doesn't have to be simple stuff like that. It can be anything. You make a choice. God makes the consequence. If I choose for the Word of God, I've chosen blessing. I've chosen life. What are the consequences of that? God starts to bless me in ways that I didn't even know were possible. If I choose to pray, what are the consequences of that? God's going to start answering prayer. Nothing is impossible for you. That's what Jesus said. Yet at the same time, we act like sometimes things are impossible for us, but they're not. Nothing is impossible. The Word of God tells us this. Well, how do I tap into that? I tap into it through prayer. But it has to be a prayer of faith. Now, the prayer of faith does not mean that, oh, I believe God will do it because I'm asking, so I believe God will do it. That's not faith. Faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. The Word of God produces faith in you, so my prayer is according to the Word of God, according to doctrine. And if my prayer is according to doctrine, then it's according to God's thoughts. If my thoughts become His thoughts, I start to really enjoy that. Person gets into the Word of God and all of a sudden joy is developed in their life. They were miserable before, now they have joy. Why? It's the consequence. When I get into the Word of God and I start to trust the love of God, which the Word of God does produce in me as part of faith, then I start to get the fruit of the Spirit being revealed in my life. One of those fruits is joy. So a person simply makes right choices toward the Word of God, and joy starts developing in their heart. It's not like they're doing anything different, except they're taking God seriously now. They're taking His Word seriously now. They simply develop the habit of listening to the Word of God. And you may say, well, okay, so I'm listening to the Word of God. How does that equate to joy? That's what the Holy Spirit does in you. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God in you and He starts to use it. And He starts to produce things in your experience, in your character, in your thinking. That's called faith. Faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. When I pray in faith according to what the Word of God says, trusting the Word of God, when I pray that way, I find God will answer my prayers. And it doesn't have to be something religious. It can be something simple. It can be something very practical. God, this is what I would really like. Would you give me this, God? I would really like to have this. And you know, very often, unless it's something that's going to hurt me or hinder me in my call, very often He's going to give that to me. Why? Because He's kind. So what's the consequence of that? Answered prayer. That's the consequence of that. What's the consequence of getting built up in the Word of God? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. God chose that consequence. In this particular case, He tells us ahead of time what the consequences will be. I choose sin. What's the consequence? Death. God tells us what the consequence will be. Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I have to make a decision. In times like that, it's very important to remember in Proverbs 5:3-6, you don't trust your own understanding. You acknowledge the Lord. And you allow Him to guide you, to lead you, to direct your path. If I try to lean on my own understanding, I've made a choice. Now, my own understanding does not possess the life or the wisdom or the knowledge of God. Human beings don't have that. However, James said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to everyone liberally, generously. So God is generous with His wisdom. If you lack it, ask Him. When you approach your decisions that way, the consequences that you receive, while the decision was yours, but because it was according to the Word of God, the ways of God, the thoughts of God, the heart of God, the consequences that God chooses are going to promote that in you. In other words, they're going to be amazing. You're going to be tremendously blessed because you've chosen life. You've chosen to be blessed. You go against the Word of God. I don't care what detail it is in your life. You go against the Word of God. You've made a choice. This is your volition. This, by the way, is the value of your volition. And you face the consequence that God chooses for a choice that shouldn't have been made. What if you repent from that choice? That is a choice also. So you've added a choice to a choice. You added a good choice to a bad choice. What happens then? God introduces a new consequence. He lifts the previous consequence. He removes that. And he brings you a new consequence. A consequence that blesses you. The volition is the most important tool that you have in your walk with God. By the way, in the atmospheric warfare, the angelic battles, your volition is your greatest defense. Satan tempts, and you have to make a choice. Now remember, when Satan tempts in Matthew 4:1, he's the tempter. You're not the tempter. You're the target. He's the tempter. Some people think that their old sin nature is the source of their temptation. It is not. The old sin nature is the target of Satan's temptation. He knows the areas where we are vulnerable. That's the old sin nature. Lust patterns, things like that. He knows them. He studies us. He knows them. He targets them. But he's the tempter. So when he makes a temptation, when he brings that, I have to make a choice. Now, I can either choose because there's a compulsion there that I'm going to go with it. And those are easy choices to make. You hardly think about those at all because you're going by the feeling of it. But then there's another side to it. You can recognize the temptation as the work of your enemy and that you're not the source of the temptation. It's not actually a desire you have. It's a desire that he is telepathically projecting into your thinking. And you recognize that because you've been taught about it. And you say, that's my enemy. I'm going to choose against my enemy. And you made a choice. The choose to go with the temptation is going to bring you a bad consequence. The choose to go against your enemy in favor of what God's will is for your life, that's going to bring a good consequence. But the choice is always yours. You are a free volitional agent. Every single one of us is. Never forget that. You choose according to what you believe before God. As a pastor, I cannot make your choices for you. I can teach you the Word of God. I can show you how things are done with God. I can show you how to have a life with God. I can teach you how to have a relationship with Him. I cannot choose for you. A number of years ago, when Dr. Stevens died, there was this one person, I was really surprised because this was not a rookie. This was a very experienced pastor. And he said, what am I going to do? Dr. Stevens has died. How am I going to choose? And I thought to myself, oh my God. You don't know? How do you not know? I felt bad for him, actually. Dr. Stevens never made your choices. You can come and get an opinion. You can come and get counsel. There's nothing wrong with that. But the pastor can't make your choices for you. Your choices belong only to you. Now, can I give you an opinion? Yes. Can I give you counsel? Yes. If you ask me, what does the Word of God say? I'll give you the best that I can. But your choices belong to you. They don't belong to me. They belong to you. This is true with everyone. Once you're married, your choices do not belong to your spouse. They belong to you. They can't belong to your spouse. Because the volition is a part of your soul. They have their own soul, and a volition for them is part of their soul. But I can't say to you, you take over my soul. Doesn't work that way. My soul has to respond to the initiations of the Holy Spirit, as in John 16:13, He guides me in all truth. So those choices belong to you, and if you're wise, you'll seek the counsel of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you. He's very able and willing to help you. But you have to ask Him. Now, why do you have to ask Him? Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, right? Why do you have to ask him? Because he's a gentleman. God's not going to force himself on anyone. But if you ask him, he'll help you. It's that simple. Your choices belong to you, and they're the greatest asset that you have. Your volition. You have a volition that allows you to go from being lost, going to hell for eternity, to being saved, going to heaven for eternity. You have a volition that will allow you to choose in faith, choose toward faith, choose toward the love of God, and then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you end up with all kinds of amazing rewards because faith and the love of God is what brings gold, silver, and precious stones. And that's the foundation of your rewards. It's all right there. In that portion, and this is really important for you to understand. I'm going to go there just for a second. The Word of God says, study to show yourself approved. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, Paul was talking to a young pastor, but the application of there is not only for pastors. Study to show yourself approved. Study means give diligence, endeavor to show yourself approved. To who? To God. You are a servant of God or you are a servant of sin. One or the other, either way, you're going to be a servant to something. You don't have the option. So study to be a servant to God. A servant who will be approved. That means at the Bema seat, which is the judgment seat of Christ for rewards. That's where every believer will receive their rewards. At the Bema seat, God will examine your choices. He won't bring up sin. Sin has been removed from time by the blood. But he will bring up your choices of faith. Now, if you have an abundance of choices of faith, you will have an abundance of reward. Sometimes you just act in faith because you believe God, and that's called gold. Sometimes you use your faith toward redemption. Now, that's an interesting one. That's called silver. Redemption is when you show things like kindness, mercy, forgiveness, love, but also when you practice those things in your own life. A person fails and they repent. They confess their sin to God, 1 John 1:9. They repent of their sin, they forsake it, and God gives them a reward for exercising redemption in their own life. A person does something and you forgive them. You don't bring it up. You don't talk about it. You forgive them. God gives you a reward for exercising redemption toward that person. It's like that with any detail of your life where you exercise something of redemption and you get a reward of silver. Now, unlike earth, gold is not more valuable than silver. It's a different kind of a reward. But it's not a value system. They're both extremely valuable. Okay, you develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit because you respond in faith to the Word of God. You respond to Jesus in John 13:34, where he says, love one another as I have loved you. And you receive precious stones. When you allow the Holy Spirit to produce that fruit in you and you exercise that fruit in your life and the different expressions of your life, that's precious stones. And so you have these rewards from God because you respond to God, because you're faithful to God, because you trust God, and you simply apply what he says. And then you get these amazing rewards. This is where the pastor becomes necessary for us because he lays the foundation of the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, it says, for no other foundation can a man lay except that which has been laid, which is Christ. So the pastor teaches the Word of God. He preaches Christ. And then you build on it with gold, silver, and precious stones. Now here's the thing. There's two requirements. Spyros Zodiades made a good statement. He said, there's a mistake that Christians make, and it's a serious mistake, and it's a serious mistake that can actually lead to a lot of discouragement. He said, we think we're going to get to heaven and we're all going to get the same thing. We're all going to get a mansion, we're all going to get rewards, we're all going to be blessed, we're all going to get the same thing. It's not actually true. Nobody's going to be miserable in heaven, but not everybody's going to be equally happy. He said, some people will live in a palace, other people will live in a hut. That's serious. What's the difference? There's two parts. Faith and love. Because those are the two things that define God. Now, the Word became flesh in John 1:14, and that Word that became flesh, the Word of God, what we have in the Bible became flesh. That's amazing. That became flesh. And that's in Romans 10:17 what produces my faith. So I need to receive the Word of God. I need to receive it all the time. Because faith is not a natural condition. It's a produced condition by the Holy Spirit as I receive the Word of God. It's really thinking with God. But the natural mind has no ability to think with God. That's why we need to receive God's mind on a regular basis so that we can maintain it. It does need to be maintained. The second part is love. 1 John 4:16 says God is love. So what is God? Defined to us in the Word of God. He is the Word which produces faith. And He is love in Galatians 5:6 that gives energy, life to my faith. When I live in that, that's where I receive gold, silver, and precious stone. That's where I go from having a hut to having a mansion. The fact that the Word of God says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. It's just talking about houses. It's not talking about Mar-a-Lago. It's talking about houses. Some people have a grand house. Some people have a hut. How does it get determined? What were your choices? What were your choices? In Romans 1:17, the righteousness of God, righteousness is the relationship that I have with Christ that leads me into right standing with Him. That relationship is revealed from faith to faith. That means that the Word of God produces faith, and I apply what the Word of God teaches me by faith. And then it continues, the just will live by faith. So that relationship, which is faith to faith, produces a condition in me where I'm right with God. And God has plenty to reward me on. There's plenty left that is not eliminated by the blood, because whatever is not of faith is sin. In Romans 14:23, in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Christ removes all sin. In Psalm 103:12, it removes it from time. And my standing with God in Matthew 7:23 is based on what God knew in time. There are those who says, I never knew you. Never is a time reference. So I receive what's left in time. So what's left in time? Ask yourself, what's left in my time? Very few people, I think actually no people at all, will have 100% of their life left in time. But what you want is to maximize what is left in time. Well, if the blood of Christ removes whatever is not of faith from time, that means I need to do what it takes to operate in faith, because that will remain in time. Word of God producing faith in me, love of God making my faith alive. That remains in time. Now, God has plenty to build with. As Zodiades said, people are going to look at their hut and say, this is all I get. And God is going to say to them, this is all you sent me to work with. Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of a humorous way to put it, but the principle is correct. That's all that's left. I want lots left. And the way it happens is my volition. That is the most important thing I have. It is everything in the Christian's life. It's your volition, your choice. Volition is the ability to make a choice. Your choices are going to determine your eternity. You choose to get saved or not saved. Okay, you guys have chosen to get saved. Wonderful. Then you choose what you're going to do with it. You're going to choose to get saved and nothing more. That's what you'll receive. But then you decide you're going to take God seriously by taking His Word seriously, by taking love seriously. You've got more to receive. Why? Because there's more there. God can only reward you on what you have left. He cannot reward you on what you have lost. And sin is loss. When John 10:10 says that Satan comes to steal, he's talking about sin. Sin is your loss. Because it's removed by the blood. Faith is your gain. Because that's what builds your eternity. It builds your life here now. But it really builds your eternity. Because your life here now, 70, 80, 90 years and you're out, maybe 100 if you're fortunate. That goes like nothing. That's a vapor in the air. That's all it is. And then you have eternity. And that lasts forever. You respond in faith. The only way you're going to do that is you take the Word of God seriously. You get the Word of God on a daily basis. Apply it by faith in the details of your life. You got nothing to worry about. Your mansion's going to be glorious. And then God's going to bring things into your life to test you. Trials. Trials are not your curse. Trials are your opportunities. Temptations are a type of trial. If you overcome a temptation, you get some serious rewards. Look at the rewards that are offered in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Those are some pretty amazing rewards. And they come for overcoming. That means there's something you have to overcome. Temptation is one of the things we have to overcome. Trials, attacks. You live in a kingdom war. In a spiritual battlefield where Satan is making a play against you, against God, you're going to be the target. And if you make a difference in the kingdom, Satan's going to attack you because there is an actual war going on. Don't be surprised when you get attacked. Be surprised if you don't get attacked. But when you get attacked, don't sweat it. Turn to faith, turn to prayer, turn to the Word of God, turn to the love of God. Don't sweat it. And you receive rewards. Suffering. You know what? They that suffer with Him will reign with Him. That's a reward. So these things that seem difficult to us, they're simply opportunities for even greater rewards. Better mansion. A mansion with a view. Imagine having a mansion with a view. Well, in heaven, that's really something spectacular. And what's the difference? Your volition. That's the difference, your volition. Now, your volition has great value. Never underestimate it. Don't ever let your emotions take over your volition. It's one of the big mistakes people make. They let their emotions take over their volition, and their volition is destroyed. You can't make an intelligent choice if you tried. Instead, let your volition take over your emotions. You tell the emotions how things are, not the other way around. And you back it up with doctrine, the Word of God in specifics. And then you find that not only is your volition healthy, so are your emotions. Because you've given something that's healthy for them to respond to. And they become healthy. It comes down to those two things, the Word of God and the love of God. And that must be the basis of your choices. That's where you choose life. If you don't choose on the basis of those two things, you're choosing death. But He does give you the ability to choose. He gives you the right to choose, and nobody can take that from you. That belongs to you. You want to make sure you're choosing life. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me, so I can have eternal life with You. Amen."